Okay. And so then you recruited the rest of the staff that you brought with you today. And I know there's been a couple of meetings at the hospitals, hospital-wide, everybody at meetings to kind of get on the same page, right?
Right. Yesterday, we gathered all of our employees at a couple of meetings and explained to them, again, what our plans were. We do have plans. We've had them for 13 or 14 years.
Now, this is something that you guys have planned way ahead of time for these kind of situations, correct?
Yes. The difference with this one is how quickly it's progressing. In the swine flu, we had months to prepare, thinking it might happen. This one started in December, and here we are the middle of March, and getting a handle on it can be a challenge.
So who wants to answer the question about why that this has happened so quickly? You know, why? What is this, a special type of superbug type thing or what?
No, I think it's just...
It's our society's mobility, and that's also going to be one key component in it, in slowing the spread and allowing the healthcare system to deal with it, is people being responsible and quarantining themselves to home. Basically, our whole society is so mobile. We've got people on planes to Germany. We've got people on planes to Asia, and people from this community on those planes as well. And it's just all over the globe. We just are a much more mobile society than we were even 20 years ago.
I think at last report, there were just under 2,000 cases reported in the United States. Is that, I don't know if you guys are watching those numbers come in.
It changes daily. I gave up following them.
As of last night, there were 11 cases confirmed in Nebraska. That's the one number I've kind of been watching.
I think the latest one, we have a story this morning that said that person happened to be on the same plane as the first person coming back from California or something like that. So again, the mobile society has a big factor in this. Now, when you take into consideration there's been 2,000 cases of this, but there's 327 million people in Nebraska or in the United States, what makes this so much different than the regular flu or other viruses that we have amongst us all the time, I guess?
It is not a lot different from a lot of the other viruses, with the one key exception being we have a vaccine annually updated for the influenza, and there is no available vaccine for the coronavirus yet.
And they're working on that, is that correct?
They are, but I don't think realistically it's going to help significantly.
How long does it take to develop a vaccine for something? You have to identify it and then get to work on what kills it, right?
Correct. I would guess, 6 to 12 months, and then they have to test the virus to make sure it isn't going to cause more problems than it is going to be helpful.
The other thing about viruses is they mutate and change quickly. So we might have a vaccine this month, and in 6 months the virus can change.
I've had people say, well, now everybody is using their hand sanitizer and those kind of things. Won't that just make the bugs mutate into something different now? I don't know. I mean, I never was that great at science stuff, but does that make sense to anything?
Not necessarily. Typically our viruses do not respond as well to the sanitizing agents, but every bug known to man basically will respond to soap and water. And so that's why we're encouraging people so strongly to wash their hands and wash them again and wash them again. They need to wash for a full 20 seconds with soap and water briskly, and people's hands will be sore, but if they can prevent the spread of the virus to just one other person, that would be great.
Now, how is this spread? Have they determined, is it an air pathogen, or how does it get around?
It's a droplet through droplets, and so we've all seen the pictures of the guy that has sneezed, and you see the droplets in the air. We also, when we speak, we spray, so we have also smaller molecules that come out of our respiratory system. And so those viruses are harbored in those secretions, and then so when that's why we tell you to cover your cough or your sneeze, is so that it's contained and it's not just floating in the air.
What about, okay, so let's say that there's an expectorant there that lands on the doorknob. So then how long is that active on there where somebody could contact that? Is that a way for it to spread? Or?
Yes, it can be gathered from a surface. Everything that I have read, that it says it can be viable for hours to days. The longest I've seen is 9 days, and that's why they are, the CDC is recommending that we clean all of our surfaces every 24 hours, once a day. Everything needs to be wiped down. That means hard surfaces, soft surfaces, you know, your couches or your, those types of things, and your tables and your countertops and all that other stuff, the knobs, doorknobs, and et cetera.
So the main preventative is isolate yourself and wash your hands a lot. Those are pretty simple things, aren't they?
Very simple.
I know that anybody they've talked about that they self-quarantine for like 2 weeks, that apparently is the time frame they have in mind that these are viable, that you might be contagious to somebody. Is that correct?
That is the standard. That is what the health department and the state are telling us.
Okay. Now, what about healthy people? I mean, anybody can get this, of course, like any type of a virus. But again, we're more susceptible to elderly people or people that have a respiratory disease already, or their immune system is suppressed somehow. Or what about youngsters? I've read different things that have said young kids don't seem to be getting this as much. Is that true?
I don't think that we know for certain on that. Statistically, coming out of China and Italy, young people are less affected. However, I have heard that the player or the high school age individual that got sick in the Northeast Nebraska area has been very, very ill.
Okay. So it can depend on the individual then.
Correct.
But for the masses out there, people under 60 or whatever that are relatively healthy could be affected by this, but maybe not as drastic as some of those people at the upper end of the spectrum.
Chances are the rest of us will have this, and it's just going to be a mild cold or a nasty cold, but it won't evolve into the serious pneumonias.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what the Cherry County Hospital plan is, and the one that you've been had in place and ready to go with. Who wants to start and tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing, because you guys reach into all aspects of the community here?
We've had this plan for over 13 years, and we're updating it to this disease now. We also have stored supplies such as masks and gloves. All of the patients presenting to the hospital with complaints of respiratory illness will have a mask put on them. Then the nurse or caregiver can ask questions to see if they meet the criteria and determine if nurse needs to wear personal protective equipment like gowns, eye protection, gloves, and N95 masks. Today, the hospital is planning to lock down the facility. This afternoon, we will ask for no visitors unless a family member must be with a patient, and then we request one family member, and that be the same family member as much as possible. And we will be posting signs that we are in lockdown and direct all patients to the emergency room entrance. And at that entrance, all people coming in will be screened for symptoms, whether they are here for a lab test or to be seen in the emergency room. The specialty clinic and physical therapy patients will continue to come in the specialty clinic door as they have in the past. Chemotherapy and dialysis patients will continue to use their own entrances. Our goal in doing the lockdown is to help protect our employees and our surgical patients and our other well people and give the best care that we can.
Okay. Now, Teresa, you do more in the community type stuff, right? Are you out and about?
Yeah. My other hat is a home health nurse.
Right. So how does this affect you then and your duties there?
Well, we will continue to see our patients. If they are showing signs of like the increased fever, a greater 100 or 0.4 or greater, if they have a cough that's not otherwise documented for some other reason, or they have shortness of breath, again, if it's for something that's not otherwise documented, then we would, when we go into the home, we would put the patient needs to be wearing the mask, and then the nurse ourself would be similar to at the hospital. We would have to wear the N95s and the gowns and et cetera because we would be seeing them for something other than the COVID-19.
Okay. And Dr. Mulligan-Witt, you operating the Valentine Medical Clinic, It seems like when people get to where they're feeling ill, the first thing they do is call, they want to go to the clinic, and, you know, they don't want to go to the hospital right away. So what is a procedure if somebody is experiencing some symptoms? What should they do when they call you?
We've asked all patients to please call either the clinics if they are going to present to the clinics or the hospital first. And then they are, our receptionists have a list of questions to ask the patient. If they deem they are high risk, they will advise them that a nurse will be calling them back, returning their phone call. We have also not, we've had a sign on the door and essentially been trying to not allow patients into the lobby since Monday if they have any acute upper respiratory infection type symptoms, which Teresa already reviewed. A lot of those patients have had influenza still, so there's going to be a lot of trying to determine what's going on with patients, but we are routing them around and putting them in just two rooms, doing the wipe downs of the counters and everything in between, and I think both clinics are actually doing that right now and have been doing it since Monday. So it's a little bit of an inconvenience, but we really ask that patients call first, because you will probably be advised that if you do not sound very ill, you should try to ride this out at home, and we won't be seeing some of the same patients with a milder illness than we may have in the past. And we may at some point be going to some telehealth situations where we will call in prescriptions after taking a list of symptoms from certain patients, not seeing them for their regular visits as frequently, or trying to put those off as long as safely possible to try to protect everyone.
So how long are we talking? I mean, I just heard a little bit ago they were going to postpone the Boston Marathon, which was a month out. So how long are we expecting, does the experts say this could be going on? Is there a 2-week, 4-week, 6-month? What are they thinking?
The groups that I have been checking in with on the internet, physician groups and infectious disease groups, are, and this is not a firm number, but at least 3 to 6 months, potentially. If the virus continues to recirculate, like we will see if it's going to do in China here soon, it could be much longer than that.
What are we learning out of China? I'd heard that they had kind of peaked, their cases were going down. So a lot of information that I guess we're using here in the United States is probably coming from there on how this acts, right?
Things seem to be improving. However, they are starting to release people from their 2-week quarantines back into the workforce. And so I think we will be able to learn a lot from that area of their society as they go back to the workforce after these 2-week quarantines. Are we going to have another surge of illness, or will it be over? And that's one of those other unknown things.
So I had this a question that was called in. I think we answered this earlier, but why is this being treated so much more seriously than the normal influenza? And I think, Doctor, you referred to that earlier, that we don't have vaccines for this or anything.
The other issue is that there's a few graphs out there on the internet. If the cost to our healthcare system is probably the biggest concern at this point. What we're trying to do by the quarantining and by the cancellation of mass gatherings is spread out. The illness is coming, and not everyone is going to get it, but even the people who don't become ill from it can pass it on to the people who are at higher risk. The bigger issue is if we didn't shut things down and we just let this occur, it would overwhelm our healthcare system like it is doing in Italy right now. Italy's healthcare system and their economy is on the brink of failure because they haven't taken these, perhaps they did take these measures, but their measures did not work in slowing down the speed with which this hit their healthcare system and their economy, and now they're completely overwhelmed, and we are trying to control that so that our healthcare system stays functional for all the healthy people, all the traumas, all the heart attacks, all the other medical things that are going to continue to go on in our country.